Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll begin today with Olympic excitement in Boston, this following last night's much-anticipated announcement that the U.S. Olympic Committee has selected this city as its choice to host the 2024 Olympics. It means Boston now begins a two-year-long competition with cities like Paris, Rome, and Istanbul, maybe. And at a news conference this morning, attended by Governor Charlie Baker and others, Mayor Marty Walsh hailed this as a great opportunity for Boston.
Boston is a united city, a passionate city, and an innovative city. We are known for coming together during tough times. But just as important, we unite to embrace opportunity, and we unite to achieve big things.
And here's John Fish, the construction company executive who heads the private group that put Boston's Olympic bid together.
The world sends its youth to Boston to be educated. The world sends its sick to Boston to be healed. The world sends its great minds to Boston to innovate. The world sends businesses from all over to invest. Why don't we send the world's greatest athletes to compete in Boston?
Fish and the Boston 2024 team have their share of critics, and we'll hear from one of them in just a moment. But first, reporter Fred Bever, who was at this morning's news conference with the U.S. Olympic Committee and state and city officials. Hi, Fred. Good to have you.
Good afternoon.
So let's talk about the USOC's decision to select Boston and listen to Larry Probst. He's chairman of the U.S. Olympic Committee, who spoke this morning about the decision to pick Boston.
It was probably the most challenging, the most difficult, the most agonizing decision we have ever made as a board.
So, Fred, what else did you hear about why the USOC chose Boston over San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C.?
Probst was pretty circumspect about it. He didn't want to talk down the other cities. You know, things that were out there, San Francisco, there was likely to be perhaps even more opposition than we're going to see in Boston. Los Angeles has had the Olympics before. The capital city is a very difficult place to coordinate this kind of event. So, but really what Probst talked about was cost and compactness. And I think really Yankee thrift was kind of the appeal and was part of how Mr. Fish and Mayor Walsh pitched it to the Olympic Committee. We can reuse all these venues. We've got more universities nearby than anybody else. Everything's going to be walkable within 10 minutes of public transport. Those were the kinds of features that were talked up today.
Interesting. Well, let's listen to John Fish. Again, he's chairman of the Boston 2024 group that put the bid together. And he was talking just about that, talking about how the Olympic bid was counting on already existing facilities at local colleges and universities.
At the end of the day, I would say there's going to be probably 70 to 75% of all of our venues here in Boston will be located on university campuses.
So what else did Fish and the mayor say about how all this will be paid for?
Well, a couple of points I want to make. First of all, Fish, who is a big construction guy, has said he will recuse himself from bidding on any of the projects. Also, the number that I'm now hearing from people who are involved with the project is $4.5 billion. So thrift at a very large scale.
Thrift, right. A relative term in the context of the Olympics.
The mayor says that he will not use public money for facilities, for archery facility or a velodrome or a stadium, because Gillette's not big enough. But he will look for public investment in land acquisition and transportation infrastructure, which he says makes this really aligned with the needs of the city.
I see.
And then he also says that they're going to try to make this very public process.
Now, tell me about that, because, of course, the critics have raised concerns about a lack of transparency in the process thus far.
And
so how did they address
that? And we have yet to see the bid documents. Mayor Walsh says they're going to come out, but they're not out yet.
I promise that this will be the most open and transparent and inclusive process in Olympic history.
And I think he's going to have to prove that point in order to get the public behind him.
Right. One of the things he's proposing is a series of public meetings that are going to begin pretty soon, right?
Yes, 9 of them around the city is what he's promising.
All right. Now, Governor Charlie Baker also spoke this morning. I know you chased him down at the State House. What's his view on all of this?
Well, he's calling it great news, and he really supports the process. He'd had no doubt that Boston would be a winner. But he also says that this really is only just the beginning.
I've only been in office for less than 24 hours. I haven't seen the bid book. I don't think I need to see the bid book. What I really want is a briefing on how people believe this process is going to go forward and how the private piece of this is going to be associated with the process and what sorts of infrastructure are going to be part of this conversation.
So he's not entirely on board. I think he wants to kick the tires before he takes the ride here.
Yeah, right. Sounds like the new governor is reserving judgment there. Well, Fred Bever, reporter for WBUR, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You bet.
So Mayor Walsh, John Fish, and many others excited by the U.S. Olympic Committee's selection of Boston as America's Olympic City. But there are a lot of critics that will have to be persuaded. Among them, Chris Dempsey, co-founder of the group No Boston Olympics. He's joined us in the past to talk about this issue on our program, and he's with us again. Chris Dempsey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks very much for having me on.
So, Chris, have you heard anything in the past 12 hours that causes you to change your mind and think that this could be a good idea for Boston?
You know, look, we are very open to what this could become, but so far we haven't really seen anything that would change our minds. So we've heard basically the same talk that we've heard for the last year now from the folks at Boston 2024. And yes, now there is a public meeting process, 9 meetings, but there haven't really been any steps laid out as to how those meetings will be conducted and really what the standard is for input from the public. What's the threshold that the mayor and others are looking for to say, you know what, we have enough public support here? I mean, if people show up to these meetings and are overwhelmingly opposed to the idea, is it an option to pull the bid? And don't we think that the mayor should say that now before the meetings happen rather than wait till after?
But is it, let me just ask you this, isn't it strange to oppose a plan that we haven't yet had a chance to really see and debate? I mean, as you mentioned, these public meetings are just beginning.
Well, so we don't agree with that. I mean, the reason we've opposed the idea of the Olympics in Boston for over a year is, I think, two things. One is the history of Olympics around the world, and even here in the U.S., is not a very good one. They don't leave cities better off for the most part. Maybe every once in a while they do, but it's a really, really risky bet, and there's a lot more downside than upside. I think the second piece is that there are huge opportunity costs to this process proceeding. So because we're going to be talking about where do we site the velodrome and where do we site the stadium and how do we fund those things, we're not going to be talking about how do we invest in schools, how do we invest in healthcare, how do we invest in the core transportation infrastructure that we use every single day and are going to need whether we have an Olympics or not.
Yeah. But why doesn't the city, why don't you think the city sort of has the bandwidth, I guess, to think about a big thing like the Olympics and keep its eye on the ball of and keep its eye on these other important goals that you just outlined there?
Well, I think we absolutely need to think big, but we also have to think smart. And the experience in other cities is that the Olympics are not a smart way to sort of proceed or develop a goal and a plan for your city. Look, if this were focused entirely around a broader plan for the city and the region, call it the 2030 plan, which would be the 400th anniversary of Boston, we'd be all for it. We'd be the first to sign up and try to contribute to that. The difference there is that we'd be doing that on Boston's terms, and it would be a regional Boston and regional conversation. When we have this conversation with the IOC, their incentives are very different from the incentives of someone that's living in Boston or Worcester or Springfield. They want different things, and they're going to talk about how they're aligned, but at the end of the day, they're not, right? What they want is what's going to look good on television for that 3-week event in the year 2024. How are they going to, you know, have a fun party, essentially, for that period of time? Not how do we actually fix the Green Line, get more Green Line trains? How do we fix leaks in the Big Dig? Those are things that they ultimately really don't care about.
Well, assuming that this process goes forward in a big way and really picks up steam, what are you prepared to do to try to stop it? Would you support, for example, a ballot initiative to try to block the possibility of bringing the Olympics to Boston?
Well, we certainly thought it was interesting news today that the mayor felt that there was no public vote necessary for the Olympics, despite the fact that earlier this week we learned that he would like a public vote for casinos. And so that's something we're, you know, interested in talking more about with his team. We hope that, you know, they're open to those conversations to say, well, look, if we're having a vote already on casinos potentially, why not on the Olympics? But look, we also, you know, we're also sort of weighing other options. That could be a statewide initiative. I mean, the risk here is for taxpayers at the state level. And so we think that folks from every corner of the state should weigh in on whether they want to bear the risk for this three-week event in Boston. But there's other options, too. There could be direct lobbying to the IOC or probably some action in the legislature. So bringing it to the representatives of the people.
All right. Chris Dempsey, co-founder of No Boston Olympics, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Stay with us. Our weekly news roundtable will give their thoughts on the Boston Olympic bid and other top stories from the week, including a new governor in town. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.